We must have driven for at least an hour before we stopped in front of a small house. It was quite dark, and after the driver had turned off the headlights, I could make out only the vague contour of the building. A young woman, a Mexican, judging by her speech inflection, was yelling at a dog to make him stop barking. We got out of the truck and walked into the house. The men mumbled buenas noches as they went by her. She answered back and went on yelling at the dog. The room was large and was stacked up with a multitude of objects. A dim light from a very small electric bulb rendered the scene quite gloomy. There were quite a few chairs with broken legs and sagging seats leaning against the walls. Three of the men sat down on a couch, which was the largest single piece of furniture in the room. It was very old and had sagged down all the way to the floor. In the dim light it seemed to be red and dirty. The rest of us sat in chairs. We sat in silence for a long time. One of the men suddenly got up and went into another room. He was perhaps in his 50s, tall, dark, and husky. He came back a moment later with a coffee jar. He opened the lid and handed the jar to me. Inside there were 7 odd-looking items. "This is to be chewed. Esto se masca," Don Juan said in a whisper. I had not realized that he had sat next to me until he spoke. I looked at the other men, but no one was looking at me. They were talking among themselves in very low voices. This was a moment of acute indecision and fear. I felt almost unable to control myself. Don Juan urged me softly, "Chew it. Chew it. Masca. Masca." My hands were wet, and my stomach contracted. The jar with the peyote buttons was on the floor by the chair. I bent over, took one at random, and put it in my mouth. It had a stale taste. I bit it in two and started to chew one of the pieces. I felt a strong, pungent bitterness. In a moment, my whole mouth was numb. At that moment, the owner of the house got up and invited everybody to go out to the porch. We went out and sat in the darkness. It was quite comfortable outside, and the host brought out a bottle of tequila. The men were seated in a row with their backs to the wall. I was at the extreme right of the line. Don Juan, who was next to me, placed the jar with the peyote buttons between my legs. Then he handed me the bottle, which was passed down the line, and told me to take some of the tequila to wash away the bitterness. The pattern was repeated 6 times. I remember having chewed 6 peyote buttons when the conversation became very lively. Although I could not distinguish what language was spoken, the topic of the conversation, in which everybody participated, was very interesting, and I attempted to listen carefully so that I could take part. But when I tried to speak, I realized I couldn't. The words shifted aimlessly about in my mind. I sat with my back propped against the wall and listened to what the men were saying. They were talking in Italian and repeated over and over one phrase about the stupidity of sharks. I thought it was a logical, coherent topic. I had told Don Juan earlier that the Colorado River in Arizona was called by the early Spaniards El Rio de los Tizones, the River of Charred Wood, and someone misspelled or misread Tizones, and the river was called El Rio de los Tiburones, the River of the Sharks. I was sure they were discussing that story, yet it never occurred to me to think that none of them could speak Italian. Don Juan brought me a large saucepan. He placed it on the ground next to the wall. He also brought a little cup or can. He dipped it into the pan and handed it to me and said I could not drink, but should just freshen my mouth with it. The water looked strangely shiny, glossy like a thick varnish. I wanted to ask Don Juan about it, and laboriously I tried to voice my thoughts in English, but then I realized he did not speak English. I experienced a very confusing moment and became aware of the fact that although there was a clear thought in my mind, I could not speak. I drank. I looked for Don Juan, and as I turned my head, I noticed that my field of vision had diminished to a circular area in front of my eyes. This feeling was neither frightening nor discomforting, but quite to the contrary, it was a novelty. I could literally sweep the ground by focusing on one spot and then moving my head slowly in any direction. I raised my head slightly and saw a medium-sized black dog approaching. I saw him coming toward the water. The dog began to drink. I raised my hand to push him away from my water. I focused my pinpoint vision on the dog to carry on the movement, and suddenly I saw him become transparent. The water was a shiny, viscous liquid. I saw it going down the dog's throat into his body. I saw it flowing evenly through his entire length, and then shooting out through each one of the hairs. I saw the iridescent fluid traveling along the length of each individual hair, and then projecting out of the hairs to form a long, white, silky mane. At that moment I had the sensation of intense convulsions, and in a matter of instants a tunnel formed around me, very low and narrow, hard and strangely cold. It felt to the touch like a wall of solid tinfoil. I found I was sitting on the tunnel floor. I tried to stand up but hit my head on the metal roof, and the tunnel compressed itself until it was suffocating me. I remember having to crawl toward a sort of round point where the tunnel ended. When I finally arrived, if I did, I had forgotten all about the dog, Don Juan, and myself. I was exhausted. My clothes were soaked in a cold, sticky liquid. I rolled back and forth trying to find a position in which to rest, a position where my heart would not pound so hard. In one of those shifts, I saw the dog again. Every memory came back to me at once, and suddenly all was clear in my mind. I turned around to look for Don Juan, but I could not distinguish anything or anyone. All I was capable of seeing was the dog becoming iridescent. An intense light radiated from his body. I saw again the water flowing through him, kindling him like a bonfire. I got to the water, sank my face in the pan, and drank with him. My hands were in front of me on the ground, and as I drank I saw the fluid running through my veins, setting up hues of red and yellow and green. I drank more and more. I drank until I was all afire. I was all aglow. I drank until the fluid went out of my body through each pore and projected out like fibers of silk, and I, too, acquired a long, lustrous, iridescent mane. I looked at the dog, and his mane was like mine. A supreme happiness filled my whole body, and we ran together toward a sort of yellow warmth that came from some indefinite place, and there we played. We played and wrestled until I knew his wishes and he knew mine. We took turns manipulating each other in the fashion of a puppet show. I could make him move his legs by twisting my toes, and every time he nodded his head, I felt an irresistible impulse to jump. But his most impish act was to make me scratch my head with my foot while I sat. He did it by flapping his ears from side to side. This action was to me utterly, unbearably funny. Such a touch of grace and irony, such mastery, I thought. The euphoria that possessed me was indescribable. I laughed until it was almost impossible to breathe. I had the clear sensation of not being able to open my eyes. I was looking through a tank of water. It was a long and very painful state, filled with the anxiety of not being able to wake up and yet being awake. Then slowly the world became clear and in focus. My field of vision became again very round and ample, and with it came an ordinary conscious act, which was to turn around and look for that marvelous being. At this point I encountered the most difficult transition. The passage from my normal state had taken place almost without my realizing it. I was aware, my thoughts and feelings were a corollary of that awareness, and the passing was smooth and clear. But this second change, the awakening to serious, sober consciousness, was genuinely shocking. I had forgotten I was a man. The sadness of such an irreconcilable situation was so intense that I wept.